is the Soundcheck Podcast from newsounds.org. I'm John Schaefer. The English singer and songwriter Kate Stables began releasing albums under the name This Is The Kit 10 years ago in 2008. Her latest album, called Moonshine Freeze, has been nominated for the prestigious Ivor Novello Award in the UK. And This Is The Kit have recently released an EP of first takes and demo versions of the songs on that album. Today, Kate and her band have trooped into our studio to play some songs for us, beginning with one actually that's going back a few years. It's called Sometimes the Sea. This is The Kit, live on Soundcheck.
What is this? This gloominess is so. I saw you, but all four shoulders were stone cold. It happens almost every time I try to hold on to things that aren't even mine.
That's a live performance from This Is The Kit of a song called Sometimes the Sea, originally from their album called Wriggle Out the Restless, which came out some years ago. This Is The Kit is the work of the singer, banjo player, guitarist, and songwriter Kate Stables. Hi, Kate.
Hi there.
How long ago was that record, Wriggle
that
Out the
was,
Restless?
Ooh, let me think, because it was re-released on Brassland in 2000 and more recently.
2000 and more recently.
Than
okay.
when it first came out. So it was album number two, and we're okay. on number four, so that's as precise as I can be, I think.
That's very precise. Let me introduce the rest of the band. Rozzy Plain on bass and backing vocals. Jamie Whitby Coles behind our drum kit. More backing vocals. Neil Smith on guitar. And New York's own Adam Schatz from the art rock band Landlady helping out with keyboards and sax if required. That was the second album, right? Under the name This Is The Kit. Who produced that? Was that a John Parrish?
No, the second album was just me and Jesse.
Okay.
And, yeah. Doing it ourselves.
But John Parrish, who people will know mostly from his work with PJ Harvey, yep. produced this latest record.
The latest one and the first one, in fact.
Okay.
It was nice to have a 10-year revisit.
Yeah. So was the idea with this record to maybe kind of broaden the palette, sonically speaking?
I don't know if it was the idea, but it probably was something that I wanted to do for my own enjoyment and education.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I guess so. It's always nice when the palette gets broadened. And it's just nice to get the people whose music you love involved.
So right.
That was the plan, really, just everyone involved.
So not just Parrish, but also Aaron Dessner from The National.
Yeah, he did a sort of bit of correspondence course with us. We'd send him some mixes and he sent some guitar parts back.
Right.
But mainly it was nice because we recorded it in Bristol. We were able to really sort of draw on the Bristol musical family members could come into the studio and add what they had mm-hmm. to add. So that was nice.
Well, let me ask you about Bristol, because, you know, when music fans think of Bristol, they think of a specific kind of sound.
They think of the Bristol sound.
Of course, Portishead and Massive Attack, you know, the trip-hop sound of the 90s. Did you grow up in Bristol?
I didn't grow up there, no, but I did grow up with a lot of that music being in my record collection. But I lived there for a few years. We all met there, except me and Rosie, who met when we were growing up in our hometown in Winchester.
Mm-hmm.
But we all lived there. It feels like that's where the band is from, even though we don't all live there now.
Right. And even though, with maybe one or two exceptions, you don't really have that Bristol sound. I mean, you have your own sound.
No, I don't think we sound like Portishead. But we did record it in his studio, in Jeff Barrow's studio.
Mm-hmm.
So that was... Does that count?
I don't know, but I will say that the album version of the title track, Moonshine Freeze, to me has at least an echo of, you know, with the descending bass line and the percussion in the back. I don't know. For some reason,
yeah,
to
I
me.
Can see that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Nice observation.
But as I say, for most of your career, you've been kind of labeled a folk rocker. Did you grow up with folk music?
Yeah, I did.
What kind?
I guess sort of 60s folk music. My parents were into a lot of Bob Dylan and Joni Mitchell and things like that.
Uh-huh. Not the Pentangle or Fairport Convention.
I think they do know a lot of that music, but I don't remember hearing it in the house as I was growing up. But I think it was around when, you know, that was the music they were into when they were at university or whatever.
Right.
But in the household, yeah, a lot of Bob Dylan mainly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He's okay.
Yeah, that's all right.
Not a bad model to work from. Does the word moonshine mean the same thing in England that it does here?
It does, but only because of here, if you see what I mean.
Okay.
And
so from like American stories
from American
and songs
culture.
And films.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
But for me, I mean, because the title was kind of taken from a children's clapping game that a friend of mine taught me, I think it's kind of ambiguous. I mean, she's American and the clapping game is definitely an American clapping game, but it's not clear in the rhyme if it's the light of the moon or if it's
or if it's
liquor.
Illegal liquor. Yeah, bootleg liquor. So that becomes the chorus of the song, Moonshine, mm-hmm. Moonshine, Moonshine Freeze.
Yeah.
I've never heard that clapping game. So, you know, to me, it might as well be from the moon.
Yeah, exactly. I think for me, it always was a little bit to do with the moon as well, just maybe the effect it has on us, but just light in general, just sort of playing with light and the idea of stopping moving. And even the sort of, I ended up, the album artwork was kind of linked to that in a way because I was doing these experiments with pinhole photography and just the amount of time you have to stay still and the sort of way that the light gets played with by whatever object you've made your camera out of. That, to me, is all somehow connected.
Did you make your own pinhole camera?
Yes, I did.
Out of what?
It's actually out of I've got a few, but the best one I have is made out of an old iPhone 3 box. Because it's matte black and really deep, like this, it just sucks in when you close it. Airtight, light tight, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Other than that, are you a photographer, or is it this the pinhole thing? Just a.
I like taking pictures, but I prefer it when it's pinhole pictures.
I love that, you know, in a day and age where everybody is walking around with a high definition camera in their pocket. That you've gone back to this old technology.
Yeah, well, it's a good technology. The last, when we were on tour in Europe last month, it was actually International Pinhole Photography Day. But because we were on tour...
Yeah, now you're just making stuff up.
We were unable to develop any photos, but we did manage to bring some pinhole cameras with us on tour. We packed them like a few weeks in advance and carried them with us and then took some photos on the day in question. So it was totally legit.
But you haven't developed them yet?
Yep, developed them.
Oh, had they turned
uploaded
out?
Them onto the site and everything. Okay. Whole lot.
So just to be clear here, we're talking about old pinhole camera technology being uploaded onto the web.
I know, it's a lovely little conundrum.
Yeah. We're speaking with Kate Stables, who is the guiding force behind the band This Is The Kit. The latest album is called Moonshine Freeze. There's also the matter of the little EP of demos of the last album. That's out as well. This next song you're going to do for us is the lead-off track on the album, right?
Yeah, exactly.
It's called Bulletproof. And just as it turns out, Kate, all of the songs you're doing for us today feature you playing the banjo.
It's true. It's a banjo hat trick.
Okay.
Possibly unheard of until now.
Let's hear another live performance from This Is The Kit. The song's called Bulletproof.
Do 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 do
today. Needed breaking anyway. But can you prove to me that you can feel anything? Prove to me that you can feel. Bulletproof. They never loved you. You let too many bullets through. Bulletproof. They never loved you. You let too many bullets through. Bulletproof. They never loved you.
The song is called Bulletproof from This Is The Kit. You'll find it on their most recent album called Moonshine Freeze. Once again, written by Kate Stables, playing the banjo here with us, with the band, in the Soundcheck studio. And the album, Kate, I mentioned in the introduction, has been nominated for an Ivor Novello Award. Even here in the States, a lot of American music fans understand what the Mercury Prize is. What's the significance of the Novello Award?
Well, as far as I can tell, it's, how do you describe it, peer
right.
nominated?
So
is
it's,
that the
it's other musicians.
Other musicians nominated, and it's to do with composing, writing,
right,
as opposed to performing or producing or, you know. Mm-hmm. So it's to do with song and music writing, and it's voted by other musicians.
Yeah, so it is, you know, a very prestigious. It's kind of similar to the difference here between a Grammy Award and a Pulitzer, you know?
Maybe. Which one is which for Grammy and Pulitzer?
Well, the Grammy is for popularity and being, you know, performed a lot and seen a lot, and the Pulitzer is more of a composer-songwriter kind of award. And, you know, whereas the Grammys are decided by a huge academy, the Pulitzer is a jury of other musicians, composers, people like that.
Okay, yeah, I see.
So, congratulations.
Yeah, thank you, yeah, it's a real honor. It's very exciting.
Now, you live in Paris, right?
Yes, that's correct.
How difficult will that be for you if and when Brexit happens and, you know, that particular cliff has been jumped over? What does that do for you as a Brit living abroad?
We don't know yet. Nobody knows yet. They don't know. And they definitely haven't told us yet. So I hope it would be pretty hefty if everyone living in Europe has to then leave. So I don't know.
Yeah.
I hope I don't have to leave. Maybe I'll just have to become French.
Would you do that?
I think I would, actually, yeah.
Huh.
I would get my citizenship if I needed to. But at the same time, well, there's a weird thing in Europe. If you're in the European Union, you can't have both nationalities. But if you're not, you can. So I guess if Britain leaves, then I'll be able to have both.
Right, you'd be able to be a dual citizen.
Yeah, but this is just me making it up. As, you know, I've got no idea what's going to happen.
Well, you know, we were talking before about folk songs and, you know, Bob Dylan and the tradition of folk songs, one that Dylan obviously continued, at least in the 60s, was you write songs that respond to actual events that are happening around. You know, we sing these old murder ballads like, you know, Pretty Polly or Omi Wise, and those were real people who were really killed in the 17 or 1800s, and we still sing those songs.
A friend of mine gave me a book that was songs, basically it was like the history of songs as news articles. People would sing the news on the streets and stuff, kind of, you know. And yeah, it exactly comes out of that.
So do you continue that tradition? Are some of your songs, you know, are the ideas behind them kind of ripped from the headlines?
Not ripped from the headlines, because I've got a very bad relationship with the modern press. Well, the majority of it anyway.
Well, they seem to like you.
Well, I mean, the music press is one thing, but when it comes to sort of news coverage, I'd like the quality, I'd like the standards to be higher and the level of truth and transparency to be higher. So I don't necessarily go directly from newspapers and and that. But there is current affairs in my songwriting, if that's what you mean. Yeah, yeah. There are stuff that happens, but it's delicate, isn't it? Neil's really good at writing songs about specific events and telling a story, whereas I'm much more tricky with my sort of references and the way I disguise stories.
Well, you know, but we've seen lots of instances of both producing great art, you know. Mm-hmm. As I say, some of these centuries-old stories have withstood the test of time because they're great songs.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, the idea that a song is not just reportage, that yeah. it's a poetic kind of response to things.
Yeah, matter gets passed through the prism and then you have to sort of, and then you get the stuff that comes out the other side.
Right. And for you, you know, this is one of the interesting things about the release of the EP called Moonshine First Goes,
yeah,
which is your first crack at a lot of these songs. It really kind of shows us an intermediate stage in that process between yeah. early idea and the final product.
Yeah, and for me, it's like I don't even know if I think of the album as being the final product. I mean, it is a product of where we were on that day, where we'd got to with those songs and with those people. But definitely the songs keep changing with the live shows. But, I mean, yeah, it's a journey, isn't it?
Yeah.
From the beginning of the song idea to, well, when you stop playing the song, I guess, forever. So it's nice to plot it, and it's nice to sort of look back a little bit at the first shape of the songs mm-hmm. when they first got sort of called a song.
Well, so there's four of them on that EP, all of which later appeared, or earlier appeared. The chronology is confusing here, but they did appear earlier on the album called Moonshine Freeze, but Moonshine First Goes is the EP. It came out at the end of March. Mm-hmm. Now, the song you're going to play next for us is, again, from Moonshine Freeze. It's called Empty No Teeth. And there are numerous songs on this record, Kate, mm-hmm. that have kind of unsettling imagery of blood and teeth and violence and stuff like that. I mean, you seem like such a nice person. You know,
the two things aren't mutually exclusive.
Fortunately, they are not.
But yeah, it's well, I don't know what to say, but I think you're right. I am a nice person.
Okay. Shall we hear the song?
Okay, yeah.
It's called Empty No Teeth. It's from the band called This Is The Kit.
Autumn time.
this time was empty, no table.
This is The Kit, live on Soundcheck with a song called Empty, No Teeth. And in terms of the band and what they were playing, it's pretty much as you were, except that Adam shifted from keyboards to sax for that song. Kate, you started in Winchester, you went to Bristol, you live in Paris, but there seems to be a kind of a New York, recurring New York connection.
Yeah.
You've got Adam here today from Landlady. Aaron Dessner has produced and now has played on a couple of your records, and Benjamin Lance, and you know, yeah. How did that happen? And
well, I think it all happened. Well, how far back should we go? My sister had a friend when she lived in Paris who had guitar lessons from a guy called Bryce Dessner, and so they became friends. And then at one point, Bryce and his band came to see our band play a gig.
Bryce's band is The National.
Yeah, and then.
Little outfit that people might have heard of.
And then Aaron suggested, I mean, this was sort of over a period of quite a few years. Then Aaron, Aaron liked it and said, did we want to do the next album with him? So this was post Rig Out the Restless. And then he also suggested that we re-release Rig Out the Restless with Brassland, with their
label.
Which
was their label, yeah.
And so basically it's all thanks to Brassland and Alec, who runs it. He's this sort of centre of this creative community. Well, not a center, but for me, like, I've just met so many people through him, and he's hooked us up with a lot of decent chaps like Adam Schatz.
Yeah. And who does the piano playing on the new album, especially on that last track called Solid Grease? There's some wonderful keyboard work.
Well, I'm glad you asked, because it's an amazingly talented musician from Paris called Vincent Mougel. I've never met anyone like him in terms of how and what he plays. He's incredible. Vincent Mougel, yeah. Mm. He's got a great band called Kids Are Dead, and I've never heard anything like it.
I know that Thomas Bartlett, the New York pianist, has worked with you in the band as well, but this didn't sound like his style, so I was wondering who that was. We'll hear a little bit of that song to wrap things up, but this is The Kit, performing here in the Soundcheck studio. The new CD, well, the most recent CD, is called Moonshine Freeze. Also look for the EP called Moonshine First Goes. Kate Stebbles, to you and the band, thank you so much for coming in and playing for
us. Thanks for having us.
This is Soundcheck. That'll do it for this edition of the Soundcheck podcast, but as always, there's much more to be found on our website. Lots of other performances, video shot in the studio, the daily gig alerts, weekly music roundups, new sound shows, and more. Check it out at newsounds.org. Our technical director is Irene Trudell. Our associate producer is Karen Havlick. Our video producer is Justin Sergi. I'm John Schaefer. Thanks for being with us.